Blog Talk Radio.
Baby, I see you working hard. Wanna let you know I'm proud. Let you know that I admire what you do. Don't know if I need to reassure you if my life will be purposeless without you. If I want it, when I ask you, you inspire me to be better. You challenge me for the better. Sit back and let me pour out my love letter. Let me help you take off your shoes, untie your shoestrings, take off your cufflinks. Don't you wanna eat food? Let me feed you. Let me run your bath water. Whatever you desire.
Did we hit the hand claps? Already. Testing.
Get the sound, man.
Hello. All right. How's everybody doing tonight? Testing. 1, 2, 3. Oh, there you go. Look at that Barry White voice. I hope so. My headset is acting up. It's every week with me. It's something. The powers that be, or the devil, they just don't want me to win. What's that they say in church? The devil is a liar. It's 8:00. What everybody doing out there? I see a lot of people on the phone lines. We've really been tearing up the phone lines and the links with this show. I'm happy about that. Welcome to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean online podcast. We got a good show ahead of us tonight. I think we done had about maybe 4 or 5 back-to-back-to-back shows that was out of this world, pulling in good numbers. So we're going to see if we can't do that tonight. I don't have no guests unless somebody want to press one and join me. That's cool. But I'm gonna be talking my ass off tonight. I'm gonna show you what a real podcast is tonight. And yeah, I got my Tito's. You know, somebody told me that they said you might get more donations if you stop telling people that you're drinking. I was like, wow. I only drink on Fridays. I wonder if people really do think like that. And my question would be, have you ever heard of Ray Charles' record? How about Billie Holiday? Chaka Khan? Natalie Cole, all the rappers that smoke weed and take pills and all kind of other stuff. Who else we had? Janet Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, the Beatles. It was in the psychedelic era, taking all them pills. Oh, shit. And my main people, Parliament Funkadelics, Bootsy Collins. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. How many people did you love? Or how many people did you love to listen to their music? Stone. How many albums have you bought of people who were stoned? How many cassettes? How many DVDs? How many concerts have you went to when the performers something was stoned? Me and my sister went to a Rick James concert one time. I think Rick James was high. The band was high. Tina Marie was high. 99% of the fans was high, the police officers, the security guards. Rick James put a lighter up in the air, threw about 10 cigar boxes full of joints in the audience, and put his hand up in there, and he said, if I light this joint, y'all gonna let the cops lock me up? This was in the 80s, I think. Yeah. If I light this joint, y'all gonna let the cops lock me up? Everybody was like, hell no. Said everybody, you know, everybody smoking weed back then. Everybody pull out their joints, pull out their lighters. You know, Rick James had that song, I should have had it queued up. You know, fire it up. Bam, dum, da 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 da. Dun, fired up. Y'all know that shit by Rick James. And when he said fired up, he lit the lighter. Everybody, like 50,000 people, put their lighters in the air, lit their lighters, and everybody lit a joint at the same time. You think anybody that paid for that, the tickets to get in there, said, I don't want to pay for this ticket because Rick James might be high. I don't want to pay for this ticket because it might help Rick James buy some more pot. You think anybody said that? People always asking me dumb shit. Do I think I don't get more donations because I say I'm drinking? I only drink on Fridays. Oh, man, I got that off my chest. Then I got another text today. that said, "Do I drink to escape from my show?" I thought reality might be a better word than show, but I don't think I drink to escape from my show. I don't think I drink to escape from reality. 59-year-old man who don't hang out, don't go to clubs, don't go to bars, don't party every weekend. Just go handle his business, come back home, watch TV, cook something 6 days a week alone. And you know what I really think? I'm drinking on Friday because I'm partying. The only thing is, I'm partying with all of you. This is my party. This is my Friday. This is my Friday night party. I'm here partying with everybody that's listening on the phones and everybody that's listening on the links. This is my Friday night party. And it's your Friday night party. Don't kid yourself. A lot of people out there have been waiting for 8 o'clock to come just like me, wondering what the hell I'm going to talk about. Who the hell going to call in? Who going to argue? Who going to yell? Who going to scream? What crazy topic we going to talk about tonight? Is Jay Sean going to fall asleep? Come on, man. Do I drink to escape my show? Nah. I drink to do my show. For real. No larceny in my heart or malice toward people who feel ill. What's that word? Ill well, something like that. Maybe you should have a drink on Friday. Shit. If I could have a drink to tame 30, 40, 50 people the way I do, you should hope I keep drinking. Shit, you should donate to help me drink. Unfortunately, it ain't for that. Donations is to keep this engine running. Just think of me like I'm John Henry. Old John Henry died like a man. How many of them people remember that? But anyway, let me take a drink to that. I'm gonna take a drink to what I just my opening statement. But if anybody think that they don't want to donate because I have a couple of drinks on Friday, death to your mouth. Oh, so long. I'm partying with you. And I'm bringing you the best content. Where you gonna find a podcast like this? Unfiltered, uncut, raw, say what you want, do what you want. That's what we get here. And Okay, we got somebody. Just hold on, because it's gonna. I see some people pressing one, but it's gonna be a minute. It's gonna be. I got a lot to talk about tonight. But I want to talk about some. Oh, you know what? I gotta say one more thing. Our friend to the family, friend to the show, comrade, our close friend. Everybody know for interrupting people, being rude, obnoxious. I don't know. He might be listening. I'm saying all that. But anyway, I want to send a get well soon to our brother Miles out there. Miles is in the hospital. And he texts me and said he won't be joining the show tonight in the hospital. So we let everybody send a prayer for Miles. What would we do without Miles cutting everybody off and never stop talking? What would we do without Miles? Oh, okay. Yeah, my nephew out sent a prayer out there for him too. You know, it's people out here that's sick. Not terminal ill sick, but just sick. Nobody want to be sick. I don't care what the severity of it or whatever. Nobody wants to be sick. I know I damn sure don't. I'm a baby when I'm sick. I remember I used to get sick when I was young. If I even got a stomachache, I used to tell my mom, like, "Mom, am I gonna die? Am I gonna die?" My mother used to be like, "Boy, you ain't gonna die. What's wrong with you? You got a stomachache." And those were the days. I get so nervous, my fingers would crawl up and get tight, like. I don't know. I guess that was my nerves. It was bad. We got some crazy topics tonight. I got some new listeners that's coming out tonight, so I gotta do my best. Well, I always do my best. But I wanna tell a couple of stories about me. But first, I want everybody out there, I want to give people some homework. I think Shadi did that one time on the show. But we're going to do it. This is a pop quiz. This ain't nothing to take home and come back next week. Jay Sean is giving you a pop quiz. I want everybody and whoever got the nerve to press one, tell me or everybody, press one and tell us what would an older, I'm going to speak for myself in the third party, what would an older Jay Sean tell a young Jay Sean? If I could have been a spirit or angel, and I could have talked to Jay Sean at 12 years old, what would I would have told him? And I want everybody out there to think about that. At the age you at now, if you was a spirit or a ghost and you went back in time, what would you tell a 12-year-old? Shadi at the age he at now, Shad, what would you tell a 12-year-old Shadi? Or my sister Lisa, what would you tell a 12-year-old Lisa? Mr. Solution, if you want, what would you tell a 12-year-old Mr. Solution? Sincere, what would you tell a 12-year-old Sincere? Dre, Omar, Latoya, Leon, Kay, Tyrese's mother, all the people from Connecticut and down south in North Carolina, Nephew O. If I missed anybody's name, I'm just shouting out people's names. But what would you tell a 12-year-old person, thing I want to talk about tonight, after I finish talking about what I want to talk about? So that's everybody homework. After I finish talking, I want people to come on the line and tell me, what would you tell a 12-year-old you? Now, wait one second. I wrote something down in my phone that I wanted to talk about. I got it. Wait a minute. How you feel about a woman if she gave you head on the first date? No, I won't talk about that. How you feel about a woman giving you head on first date? I was going to talk about that, but I'm tired of talking about that. A piece of gold or a pile of dirt? No, I don't want to talk about that either. Too bad for heaven, too good for hell. No, I don't want to talk about that either. My birthday. Yes, damn it, let's talk about that. My birthday is next Sunday. So everybody, there will not be a show next week. So we gotta really turn it up tonight, because next week there will not be a show. I got on plans, and you know everybody know I usually do my show because I usually go somewhere and I do. Everybody know I always be by myself on my birthday. I do that to myself. It's a strange ritual that I do. Is that I spend my birthday by myself. When I was younger, you know, I had a day with my friends and a day with my girl and a day by myself. But then once I got older, it became, you know, I just be by myself on my birthday. I don't really know why. I got ideas. I know I never had a birthday growing up. But it seems like if you never had a birthday growing up, everybody know I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, like Charlemagne the God, Ja Rule, Prince, Jackie Hilarious, Michael Jackson. The list goes on and on. So when I say Jehovah's Witness, don't squinge, like it's like I'm saying something that's from another planet. But I grew up a Jehovah's Witness. I never had a birthday. I remember being young and wanting to, like, and just wanting a birthday cake. Like, I was like damn, I want a fucking birthday cake with my name on it. You know, because you see other people with birthday cakes and they got their name on it. That was something funny to me. I just wanted a birthday cake with my name on it. I guess because the things you can't have is the things you want. And I know I remember one time I was about 8 years old and I asked my mother why Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate birthdays. And she told me it was some king or something, I don't know. And he asked his wife or something, that you can have anything you want for your birthday. Forgot the king name in the Bible. And she told her husband that she wanted, she liked it this other man, but she was married to the king, but she liked it this other guy, but he didn't like her. And she told her husband she wanted his head on a plate for her birthday. And her husband had the guy beheaded and gave her the guy's head on a plate. And that's the story I was told. That's why Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate birthdays. Oh, I think Yvonne Janae, she grew up a Jehovah's Witness too. And so I never really gave a damn about that guy head on a plate. I just wanted a birthday cake. Shit, that's all. She wanted a head. I wanted a cake. Look, so I tend to punish myself with things that I was neglected. I still neglect myself with them. Or giving somebody a birthday present the day after their birthday. Giving somebody something for Christmas 2 days. Like, I don't want nobody to be happy on Christmas. I don't want nobody to be happy on their birthday because I was never happy on my birthday. I was never happy on Christmas. And that sounds crazy, right? But it's real. I even did that to some of my kids sometimes. Keep it real. Keep it real. I'll bring them their birthday present the next day. Don't ask me why. I don't know. I guess that Jehovah's Witness religion really fucked my head up. So anyway, every year on my birthday, I'm by myself. Everybody know I'm somewhere in a hotel by myself. And another reason why I celebrate my birthday by myself is, and this is real too, because I don't want nobody to fuck up my birthday because they mean so much to me now. If I go out with a bunch of guys on my birthday, they want to keep bar hopping and I don't. What about if they want to go somewhere and I don't? What about if they want to do something and I don't? On my birthday, I like to do what I want to do. Am I wrong? And then people ask me, well, why you not with a woman or whoever you deal with on your birthday? You know why? And this is something I'm dying to say. Because if you take a woman with you out of town or somewhere and it's your birthday, women tend to think that vacations mean orgasms. So they seem to think once they go on vacation that it's a sexcapade. It's nonstop coming. And then you might feel like staying in a hotel for the day. They might feel like going on a broad walk. You might feel like gambling in the casino. They might feel like going window shopping. They might want to go to dinner. You might want to call dine in with room service. So that's why I celebrate my birthday by myself. Because I do what I want to do because it's my birthday. Now, am I wrong for that? what they say in church? Let the church say amen, something like that. If I'm wrong, then let me know I'm wrong. If I take a woman with me on my birthday out of town, she gonna think that means sex every night and every morning. And that just ain't on my mind like that. I don't really think that. When you my age, do people really know how much pussy you had in your life? How can it still drive you crazy when you went up in 50s and 60s? And how can you still be crazy about sex? How? My brother told me when I was 15 years old, when he was teaching me how to be a pimp, he said, if you could keep your mind off of sex, you'll always have the upper hand on another man. My brother told me that when I was 15. If you could keep your mind off of sex, you'll always have the upper hand on another man. And he never lied, because all men think about is sex. That's all they think about. I've been around guys and they talk about sex like it's, man, I beat that pussy up. I made it bleed. I knocked her socks off. I had her screaming, and to me it's funny as hell. 'Cause a baby could come out of vagina. I don't think it never been a penis big as a baby. If maybe, I don't know. I need a lady to tell me that. So anyway, my birthday is next Sunday. And, you know, I really thought about spending my birthday with somebody. I really did. I put a lot of thought into that. And then I said, nah, it ain't going down like that. I'm going to do what I want to do, as I always do. It's another thing I want to talk about. I'm going to talk everybody to death tonight. No, I'm going to bring the callers in a minute. As soon as I see everybody pressing one. Please don't hang up. Just stay with me. I got to get a couple of things off my chest. Well, one more thing off my chest. Well, it's not on my chest, but Somebody was asking me about, you know, the years when I was a pimp. And I told them, I said, yo, you know what happened? This is a real story. I said, I started like in the early 80s, then I stopped and got married. And then I broke up with my first wife. I had a son and she was 4 months pregnant, and I broke up with her to be a pimp. Yeah, yes, I did. Keep it real. I know I'm going to be punished for that. Well, I've probably been punished for that already. Shit. But anyway, yeah, off and on for like 20-something years. So I remember it was like, and I was tired. And I just didn't wanna do it no more. I had been when I say pimping, I mean promoting exotic dancing, pimping, I mean everything to go along with money for sex and money for entertainment and stuff like that. And the reason I talk about this because it's way past the statute of limitation. Because somebody said, Jay, why you be telling all your business like that? The shit I'm talking about is from the 80s and the early, well, I stopped in 2008, but this story is from 2003. What's this? 2023? 20 years ago. Statute of limitation is 7 years. So I could talk about all this. And I put it all in a book. Everything I'm saying on the show, I put it in a book. So it was around 2003, and I had been doing this shit like off and on about 15 years, and I was tired. I was tired of seeing women sell their body and dance for money. And I was just tired of everything that went along with it. So, you know, I start telling everybody I was retiring. And, you know, it went around because I was kind of popular around Patterson and Newark and New York. So pimps start calling me and start telling me, yo, man, what you want to retire for? You still young, man. You got a lot left in you. I'm like, nah, man, I can't do this no more. I'm just tired. You know? And then some of my friends start getting on me. Like, they was like, Jay, you was born to be a pimp. Like, I'm like, I want to settle down. They was telling me I could settle down with a woman and still be a pimp, long as I kept her in diamonds and furs. Real shit. People was talking me into it. But the people that were talking me into it, they was married and in relationships and with houses, and they was happy. But they wanted to keep me doing what I was doing in case whenever they wanted to, you know, because people used to call me, like, send me a girl, Jay, this and that, and, you know. And then I used to have a house, and I used to live with, like, four or five women at a time, so men could come there and take a woman in another room if they wanted to. Like, I had an open-door policy back then. It was really crazy. Like, if you didn't know me back then, if you wasn't around when I had the do me in, it was like a basement apartment called the do. I called it the do me in. We had the do me in, Collingwood. We had the we had a couple of spots. Me anything, but mine was for what I was doing. So, like 2003, and I had a book with a lot of Johns or Tricks or whatever you want to call them, Johns, Tricks, people that buy sex. I had a black book. I really had a book with a whole bunch of names. I know you see movies and people be wanting to kill somebody for the book. I had a book. I had people offering me money for my book because in that book I had all different names of police officers and lawyers and doctors and nurses, everybody that was part of that world. So whoever I gave that book to, that book was worth thousands. So I had people coming to my house offering me money for the book. Anyway, I was going to give it up. It's like 2003, like I said. And then, I don't know. Forrest don't like me to say his name too much. You know what I mean? But I don't think this is bad, what I'm about to say. So I can say it. Forrest called me one day. And most of y'all know Forrest. He called me one day and Forrest said, yo, Jay Sean, man, you really going to retire? And I said, yeah. Jay, man, like, yo, you help a lot of women out, man. You help them pay bills, feed their kids. I mean, don't think of it as something bad, like, you know, what you're doing. You still young, Jay. And I'm like, I told him, like I told all the other promoters and pimps and everybody else and dancers, prostitutes. And I said, yo, I don't got it in me no more. And he was like, all right, man, just let me know when you have a retirement party. And I was like, okay. And I still had a couple of parties left to do before I retired, because I used to do so many parties. Let me tell you, I'd be doing 2 and 3 bachelor parties in a weekend and fight parties. Somebody come home from jail, they need girls to come dance. I used to do parties for white firemen in white towns, big-time drug dealers in New York, giant football players. People y'all don't know. I used to take girls to, I won't say his name, but I used to take girls to two giant football players. And he had a condo up in West Patterson. I used to take girls there. I used to take girls to Redhead Kingpin and the FBI. I used to do parties for Blackstreet. You know Blackstreet. I did parties for Special K and Teddy Tag. I did a lot of parties. I traveled from here to Florida doing parties. If I not tooting my own horn. But anyway, back to the story. So I did a basketball party somewhere, and I come home, and I'm dropping the girls off at their house one at a time, you know, because the ladies had their own apartment. I had mine. So I'm dropping them all, you know, all off of their apartments, and we getting the money together and everything. And then I get to the last house, and you ain't dropped the last girl off. I'm not going to say her name because people might know her. She's still a friend of mine. Well, all of them is friends of mine. But I get to her house. She the last girl I'm dropping off. And then she don't get out the car. Passenger seat. I think I had had an Explorer, a black truck then. And she was just looking straight ahead in the passenger seat. So I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm like, I'm waiting for her to open the door and get out. And she just sitting there staring straight ahead. It's like 3 in the morning. I don't know what's wrong. And then I start seeing like tears run down her eyes. And I'm like, yo, what's wrong? I call her, let's call her Aunt Hennessy. So I'm like, Hennessy, what's wrong? And like, she's just staring straight. She's not looking at me. She's just staring straight. And now the tears is coming down her face more. But she's not looking at me. She looking straight. And I turn sideways. And now I'm like, I'm asking her, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And then she turned to me like she was crying. And she said, Jay Sean, you really going to retire? And I said, yeah, Hennessy, like, yo, I've been doing this a long time, you know. I got daughters and shit and everything, you know. And then she said something to me that I'll never forget. She said, Jay Sean, what I'm going to do now? She said, what I'm going to do now? Or what we going to do now? And I was like, damn. And she was crying like Jay Sean, what I'm going to do now? And it was crazy, like, to me, it was crazy that this female was in her 20s. She was in a Blacktail magazine. She was beautiful with the biggest chest I ever seen and the smallest West fine black woman with no kids at that time. And she really didn't know what she was going to do other than what she was doing. Now, that might sound crazy to some people out there, but it's not. Sometimes all people know is all people know. So she looked at me and she was crying and she said, "Yo, Jay Sean, what I'm going to do now?" I said, "Yo, Hennessy, you young, you beautiful. You can do anything you want to do in this world. You don't got to keep doing this. You could go to school. You could take up a trade. You got the whole world in front of you." I don't think she could hear me. So she started crying, and I leaned over, and I grabbed her, and I hugged her. And she was crying louder and louder and louder, like, "What I'm going to do, Jay Sean, now? What I'm going to do now? What I'm going to do now?" And I ain't going to lie. Then I start crying. I ain't going to lie. And then I was hugging. I whispered in her ear. I was like, "Yo." I was like, "You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right." And she got out the car, and I sat in the car, and then I drove to my house, and I sat in the car about another hour just thinking about that. And I just told this story to somebody about a week ago, but that one, she don't even know that. To this day, she don't know that. That one line, five words, "What I'm going to do now." Jay Sean, what am I going to do now? Six words, I mean, that she said to me. I wind up pimping 5 more years because I talked myself into believing that what I do really wasn't that bad. Like Forrest said, I guess some of the girls, like, I was helping pay bills. I was helping them feed their children. I was helping them live and survive. And I brainwashed myself and I talked to myself into believing that what I really was doing was good. Because contrary to popular opinion, some women really love to have sex. It's people listening now, right now on this phone, that love to have sex. And done gave up enough sex for free, they would have been charging. They probably would have a Lamborghini now, a Ferrari. They done gave up so much pussy free that they probably could have a Lamborghini, right? Lamborghini. They done gave so much head and gave up so much coochie that they could be living good. So don't get it twisted and think that everybody that sell their body is a ratchet and trifling and abomination and all that bullshit. No, not at all. I got more respect for people who charge for their vagina than give it away for free. That's just me. So now, 6 words made me pimp for 5 more years. Now, this is where I'm going to conclude because I've been talking too damn long. I appreciate everybody who's still on the line. I'm on one tonight. I'm just talking. We're going to get to the listeners after this. Don't forget, what would a person your age tell a person 12-year-old? So now 5 more years go by. It's 2008. Now my conscience is really killing me. I had a daughter born in 2001 and a daughter born in 2002. And I had a daughter born in 1997 and another one born in 1983. But I'm talking about the ones that was born in 2001 and 2002. They both be 21 for 6 months. They be the same age for 6 months from two different women. So anyway, I continue to do my things. Another year, 2 years, 3 years, I'm still getting money. I'm living good. I'm traveling. I'm going away, staying in nice hotels. I'm just doing a lot of stuff. I never went out the country because I'm afraid to fly. So, going into that fifth year, it was killing me. I was so tired of pimping. And I was at the end of my line. And I had a party to do at a college in New Jersey. I can't remember the name of the college, but it was a party I had in a college in New Jersey. And I wanted to go because of the money, but I didn't want to go. But anyway, I got the girls together. We went to the party. And it was one of them fraternities. And they was wild. So when I got to the party, one girl was running late, so I dropped the other girls off there. I always had a security guard. I always paid somebody to come with me for security. I told him to watch the girls, my bodyguard, and I drove to go get the other girl. I pick her up in North Penn Station. We on the way back to the party. All the way back to the party, she could tell something is wrong with me. She said, he was asking me, what's wrong, Jay Sean? I'm just, you know, saying it's just one of them nights. We finally get to the party. We get to the party. I park the car, some 100 cars out there. I go in the back door, wherever. They in like a big room in a dorm or some shit. I don't know. I don't remember. When I come in the door, it's like some shit you never seen before in your life. Well, I seen, because I done did parties all over the world. It's guys on tables, and it's guys on chandelier, and it's guys standing on each other's backs and on tables and chairs, and they're yelling and screaming. And if you've never been to a go-go party or a basketball party, it's a certain smell in the air that you can never forget. It's like the smell of sweat, perfume, pussy, and liquor all mixed together. I'm telling you, it's probably how a cop feel when he smell a dead body. People texting me and inboxing me. I can't read them right now. I got to keep going. I'm on the road. This is my last story. So I come in the door, and it's like, it's crazy. It's crowded. It's like people on the walls and everything. So I don't, you know, when you take girls to do a party, they come out one at a time and they do shows. You know, somebody might come on the floor and put mousse all over their ass and set it on fire, and that might be their show. Another girl might come out and smoke a cigarette with her vagina. Another girl might spit a pool table balls out her vagina. I knew a girl who could put a man's foot in her vagina. She would put a condom on a man's foot and put it inside her vagina. No lie. She's a New Jersey Transit bus driver right now, married and everything. She could put a man's foot, and I'm not talking about a man's foot 8. I'm talking about a 10 or a 12. And she'll put a condom on his foot and put the whole foot in her vagina up to his ankle. Out. So, anyway, I'm going. You're talking about somebody who's been seeing that shit for 20 years. It's crazy. So, it's a big crowd, so I really don't know what's going on because in my time, I always know that big crowd, sometimes it could mean trouble. So anyway, I come to the party. I got the girl. I tell her to go to the dressing room to get dressed. So I'm trying to see what's going on so I'm making my way through the crowd. And I really don't want to be there because don't forget, this is the 5th year after I wanted to retire. So I make my way through the crowd, and the guys is going ballistic. And they throwing money, and they yelling and they screaming, and it's the party is off the hook. Black guys, white guys, Spanish guys, and they yelling and they cheering them on like it's a boxing match, or MMA fight, and they throwing money and they on chandeliers and couches and they yelling and screaming and. And it's loud and it's crazy. And I make it through, and I get to the middle, and it's 2 girls on the floor. And they doing a girl-on-girl show. They eating each other out. They eating each other vagina. Now, don't ask me why, but in my 20 years of experience, it's nothing that drives men more crazier than seeing 2 ladies eat each other out. I don't know why. I used to get phone calls like that whenever I was going to do a party. Jay, is the girls going to do a lesbian show? Do you have Spanish girls? Those are the 2 main questions I got for every party. Are the girls going to do a lesbian show? And do you have Spanish girls? Yes, I do. So I make it through the crowd, and the girls is on the floor, and they friends of mine too. They married now with husbands. Ain't that ironic that they married now with kids and everything? Imagine that. They walking their kids to the bus stop like a good wife, good moms, husband kiss them on the way to work, and they don't even know. Do it matter? I don't know. Whatever, let me get back to the story. I make my way to, and 2 girls is on the floor, and they eating each other out. They're in the 69, and you can't even see the floor. It's covered with money because the guys is throwing so much money. So when I say the floor is covered with money, the floor is covered with money. And I'm looking. And been somewhere and you have an outer body experience. I was looking at the girls on the floor eating each other, and my bodyguard was tapping me, and he was saying, "Yo, Jay Sean." He was asking me that I want him to start picking the money up, but I wasn't saying nothing. I was just staring at the girls, and you know when I said it was real loud in there, it got quiet. I couldn't hear anything. It was like I wasn't even there, but I was there. And he was like, Jay, you want me to start picking the money up? And I just was looking at the girls on the floor eating themselves out. And the guys throwing money, and I looked around to the left, and the guys was cheering and yelling and screaming like a pit bull was devouring a cat. And I looked to the left, and I looked to the right, and the guys are yelling and screaming. And I looked, and the guys laying on the floor, and I never answered my bodyguard. I just turned around, and I ran to the bathroom. I bust the bathroom door open. I slammed the door. I closed the door, and I fell on my knees, and I start crying. And I was crying, and I was crying, and I couldn't stop crying. Don't ask me why. I just couldn't stop crying. And I mean, I was really bawling. And I was on my knees, and I was holding on to the sink, and I was crying. And I closed my eyes, and I started talking to God. And I just said, please, God, if you could help me, if you could help me get away from this life, like that, I promise you that I'll do right. And I made a bunch of other promises. And people start banging on the doors, and I wouldn't open the door, you know, because when men drink, they got to piss. And it was banging on the door, and I was on the knees, and I had my hands together when you interlock your hands like you praying. And I was praying, and I was looking up at the ceiling, and I was just begging God, like, just help me. I was like, just help me. Like, God, just help me. Like, and it still bothers me even to talk about it. I'll never forget that night. And I never did another party. And I never had another whore, another nothing like that. That was the end. So what's the moral of the story? When you're at the end of the line and you can't go no more, I guess you gotta talk to God. I knew I had daughters that was growing up. I knew I had been doing what I had been doing for 20-something years, and they was people, daughters and nieces and aunts and mothers, and I had did so much. I watched people go to jail, and I watched people die, and I watched people be assaulted, and I watched people be raped, and I watched people be hooked on drugs, and that's the bad part of it. I used to call that the tragic part of pimping. Because, I mean, there's good parts, too. Don't get me wrong. That's just the bad parts. But God got me here to tell my story. I'm not dead. I'm not in an insane asylum. And I'm not dying from an incurable disease. I'm here with everybody to tell my story. Whew, that took a lot out of me. So what are we going to do now? We're going to take a quick break, my wounds, and we'll be right back, and we're going to start this show. The ways, I apologize for that first hour, but I hope people learn from something so they don't have to go through what I go through. I'm talking about far as the birthdays and everything that I talked about. Remember what I said. What I said: a piece of gold, or a pound of dirt. Too bad for heaven. Too good for hell. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to bring everybody on the line. We're going to let people talk. We're going to get to the topics. We're going to do everything. We're going to go 3 hours tonight because I'm not on next week. And don't forget about, if you feel like donating, my cash app is $JASHONJ, $J. I got Cash App, I got Zelle, I got Venmo, I got PayPal, I got it all. This is my new record, too. It symbolized my record because so many ungrateful people out there in the world. But anyway, we'll be right back after this message. I want everybody to get ready for the second hour. This record really symbolizes me. It's a lot of ungrateful people out in the world. We'll be right back after this. I'm a crazy mother.
Nah, damn, $40? Shit. Ain't enough, huh?
Ungrateful motherfucker. This is the life we live in. It's kind of ungrateful. You can give a nigga love, but he still complain. Lace a nigga with a chain, make him scream his name. You can fall on your ass, be straight down bad. Nigga look the other way like they ain't seen a thing. You can buy a bitch whatever, she'll leave you, man. Jump ship, she ain't trippin' cause she got a name. What? Niggas building up hate that they can't explain. Niggas shootin' shots at you, now they want your flame. I never did nothing to him, but they got my man. If he wasn't bulletproof, he would've felt the same. Prison, I reached my hand out to, they cut my hand. Took the word real, nigga, and they used it in vain. Ain't no rules in the game, man, these dudes, they can change. Sister-ass niggas, most goons, now they lame. Bitch-ass niggas doing bitch-ass shit that a bitch do. You might as well wear a thong, man. Y'all ungrateful, eh? Nigga mad cause I'm still in my bag and I respect it. Can't equal up. Nigga kissing on a bitch, you was kissing on my dick. You was looking like a duck, nigga, what the fuck? TQ, you ain't never had a job till I gave you one. You was working at Cop KK. Ain't nobody wanna sign you but me, A2CP. You got passed on, you ain't great.
Niggas ungrateful.
Talk to him.
Bitches ungrateful.
Talk to him.
These people ungrateful. I don't even want to talk to him.
I'm crazy. What I'ma tell him when I talk to him.
I'm crazy. I'm crazy.
I'm crazy. See this shit coming.
I'm crazy.
I'm crazy.
I'm crazy.
You can give a nigga money, but it still ain't enough. Keep it straight 100, but it still ain't enough. Real to the bone gristle, but the real ain't enough. You can cry for a nigga, but the tears ain't enough. Nigga kick you in your ass when they feel it coming up. Don't want you with a bag, cause they feel you got enough. When the shit hit the fan, now these niggas acting tough. If I don't get my bag, all I'm saying good enough. You want great filet, my dog like, how you let them even snake your ass? Them niggas paper bag to a real G, dog. I was waiting on my time to shine. Them niggas cross the line, now all of them, they gon' feel me. God, you a bitch, nigga. Us black folks, we the one got your bitch, nigga. You cut throat and all y'all in the clique, nigga. On bleak, y'all better pay me my shit, nigga.
Niggas done great.
Talk to them.
Bitches ungrateful.
Talk to
them. These people ungrateful.
I don't even want to talk to them.
I'm crazy.
What I'ma tell them when I talk to them.
I'm crazy. Ungrateful.
I ain't even see this shit come.
Ungrateful.
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 Baby mama, she done hit me with the chops. Old dirty ass bitch about the line coat. Well, that AMG Benz, I'ma need that back. Won't play it like that, you ain't about to keep that. Get the bitch still mad cause her brother got wet. This the same nigga fucking little sister in the can. Yeah, you suck bleak dick while I fuck you from the back. You ain't never been shit but a fucking hood rat. You're ungrateful, lady. Go to jail, everybody tryna snake your ass. People feel you going down there, snake your ass. I'm about to rip these motherfuckers like paper bags. Cut off my daughter for life, you're ungrateful, lady.
Girl called me a bitch ass nigga. Hold up. Ungrateful. Hold up. All the shit I did for this fucking child.
Niggas ungrateful.
Talk to him.
Bitches ungrateful.
Talk to
him. These people
ungrateful. I don't even want to talk to him.
Grace.
But I'ma tell him when I talk to him.
Grace.
Ungrateful. I ain't even see this shit coming.
Ungrateful.
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 I've been going through some shit, and this shit done got deep. Gotta realize everybody ain't deep. How the fuck you do that when you represent the streets? Streets made you, and the streets made me. If you act BG, you was on BC. The name that you got up there, you got that for me. Fans all mad, acting like they can't see. The street cred gone, nigga, don't blame me. Keep your homeboy right, you ain't living like that. Everything that you rap, you ain't never did that. Niggas, other niggas popping here, certified rat. Your co-defendant Ben gave me your paperwork, nigga. I gave you a video in verse, nigga, for the free. When you was trying to pay a nigga, bitch, I'm a cheat. I'll turf go the same way.
Goddamn.
Cause we all from the same place.
So we done.
I'm great.
All I can do is say,
I'm great.
At this point.
I'm great.
All y'all motherfuckers stop.
These people so I'm great. I'm great.
I'm
great. I'm great.
All y'all motherfuckers suspect.
These people are ungrateful. Okay, now let's get with it. We gonna start from the top. People who called in. You live. Going once. Okay, let's move that on. 060672, you live. 0672.
Hey, Jay Sean, it's GG.
Hey, what's good? What's going on?
How are you? You're not gonna get lost this week.
I thought I lost everybody. I talked for like an hour.
It's all right because it was something that needed to be heard. That will help a lot of our young brothers as well as our young sisters to understand that life is real. Life happens. But you had to go through what you went through and the journey that you went through to get you to the man that you are today. So
thank you so
much for sharing, because that's not just a testimony, but it's real.
It's real.
And this is what our young people need to hear, because this world that they live in with all these electronics all around them, real life is still happening.
Yeah, I could attest to that.
And they ask, you know, not just our young people, but the parents that's on here. This is something that maybe, Jay Sean, you should have a night where the parents can have their teenagers and their young, you know, adults to hear your story and your testimony to where, you know, you came from, because it's so easy for them to get sucked in with all this pretend stuff.
Yeah, I've seen so many of them. So many. That's another reason. Yeah, that's another reason why I stopped. You know why? Because the girls kept getting younger and younger.
Yeah.
The girls just kept getting. I was getting older and older, but the girls.
Getting younger and younger. You know,
it's
funny.
More makeup and more lipsticks and more wigs.
Yeah, I can contest to some of the crazy times. Do you remember the time that you were taking the girls, we were all going dancing, and the girl's boyfriend called the cops on us?
Oh, shit. You was with me that night?
Yes, I was.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Now you know I gotta tell that damn story. I put that story in a book.
Really?
And they had us on a highway. They had us all laying on the ground, right?
All laying on the ground, face down.
All of us laying on the ground. All the white people outside looking at us.
Yeah.
Remember, there was a restaurant. They were all looking out there. And they kept asking me. Yo, that's crazy. This is real. I love this. Now, I love when somebody not afraid to come on and tell the truth. Like, you know, cause I tell stories and people think they not real.
No, they're definitely
real.
They're
real. They're real.
I can contest some important people and, you know, back alleys, back doors.
the cops had us laid out on the ground.
They
had us laid up. I always remember to this day. The cop said, because I told him we was going to a bachelor party, and
he said they're definitely going to go dance.
He went in the trunk and he seen all that shit in the trunk. The cop said to the other cop, he sure ain't lying because it ain't nothing back here but stilettos, thongs and chains and whips and whatever was back there. High heels and that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the 90s.
Yeah,
I didn't know you was. I forgot. I forgot for real. I forgot you was there.
The early 90s.
You done opened up some worms. Mr. Solution gonna come for you now. He gonna say, what was you doing with Jay Sean in the 90s?
He didn't know.
Uh-oh.
That I've always been a boss, so I could roll with Jay Sean.
No, you always been a boss. I wasn't pimping her or nothing like that. Let's don't get it wrong.
Not at all.
She was her own boss. I tell everybody that. Like, people that I was the boss, and then it was people who was their own boss. And you got veterans, and you got rookies, and let them fall where they may. She was definitely her own boss.
And so they can know I didn't have to sell nothing.
Right.
If you
right,
know how
whatever.
To talk and move the right way.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even about that. Because, yes, I bought plenty of dinners. I love lunch meetings.
Hold on. I'm gonna tell that story a little later, but hold on one second. Let me see. I got a couple of people on the line. Hold on one second. All right, that's crazy. I forgot about that. 9513, you live.
Jay Sean.
Yes.
Well, good evening to you. And though I'm live now, I will not ever be as live as you. But I do want to say I appreciate
what's
your
who
story.
Is it? Huh? Yvonne Denae?
It is Yvonne Denae.
Why you didn't? But hold up first. One second first. Have you ever listened to Ray Charles' music? You didn't answer me.
Yes, I have.
Okay, go ahead now. That's it. Because he stayed stoned. Go ahead.
That's fine. I got you. I got you. Not to escape,
go ahead.
Be a part of. Not to escape, but to be a part of. Okay? It balances you. So I appreciated your story regarding your pimp life and the experience. And what I thought about when you said the moral to the story, I said to myself, for you, for them, and for not anymore. You did it for you in the beginning, and then you stayed in for them. But then you got to the point of not anymore. And that, you know, is profound, really. My position, and I pressed one when you started telling your story, because, first of all, I don't see where prostitution should be illegal, because I always say, or sex for money or getting paid for your services, men and women, because no one goes to work and not use a part of their body to get their job done. No one goes to work and not use a part of their body to get their job done. For all of the moral people, say moral, that's a different pocket, but as moral in definition would go. But for others, I don't see a problem with it. I see a problem with abuse. I see a problem with control. You know what I mean? But if it's, go do it and file your taxes, please. Do it and file your taxes. But regarding the birthday, so I say kudos to you, of course. I appreciated hearing that perspective of business that you were in. I could have done without the smell, because I smelled it as you described it. Unfortunately, you did that so well. But, and then, of course, regarding the religion.
Without the what?
You were very descriptive with the smell of that room when you walked into it, that I literally smelled it. I could have done without that, but you tell a great story, and I guess I received words very well. Regarding the religion and the birthdays, and I know we know better now. I'll speak for me. Listening to, quote-unquote, the truth, and how the Jehovah's Witness religion controls your thinking and your celebrations and the reasons behind it. I'm not a holiday person, but I'm not a holiday person because I'm not commercialized. And I don't like being led and controlled. So because you pick a day and everybody goes shopping for the day, you're doing well, agenda makers. So I don't really do religion in that, holidays in that way. I am, if I see something I like for you, I get it whenever. You know, I recognize it's your birthday. I recognize the holidays. We like being off of work. But it doesn't have anything to do with being, as they say, a witness, that I don't celebrate the holidays. It has more to do with, in my opinion, my common sense and what works for me, and I don't like being led. What I would tell myself, my 12-year-old self, is to stay focused, and as soon as you start making your money, buy real estate. That's what I would tell my 12-year-old self, that as soon as you start making your money, buy real estate. I've always been in business. I've been in business since I was 14.
And what's the other thing you said?
Stay focused and purchase real estate as soon as you start making your money.
Okay, that's what's up.
I mean, could you imagine if we started buying real estate at 19 and 20 years old, where we would be today? Could you imagine?
Let me tell you a quick story. Let me tell you, I got a million stories, but let me tell you a quick story. Me and Shadi, we from the same block. We knew each other since we was 9 years old. We hustled on the same block as teenagers. Maybe when we was 14 or 15, He used to tell all of us out there, let's put our money together and start, let's put our money together and let's buy property and stuff like that. He said, and, you know, if we would have started, if we would have listened to him when we were 15 years old, we would have owned so much right now. But, you know, like, even me, not just, not everybody else, even me, hearing somebody at 15 years old saying, let's put our money together, I'm like, and that was my best friend, but I'm looking at him like, is you crazy, man? I'm not putting my money in no pot. But, boy, was I wrong. Was we all wrong? Because we could have owned
all, you know.
And we could have owned everything that the blocks we was hustling on. I mean, he owns them now. But him and his wife. But I'm just saying that. Imagine that at 15 years old, we could have put our money together, and we could have owned a lot of stuff. I mean, we was making money out there on a block.
That's right.
But
that's right.
He was before his time, and we was too late for time.
As Miss Gigi said, young people listening to this podcast, I don't know if you have a way of rebroadcasting it on your off week, next week, but that would be
yes,
a great opportunity to rebroadcast this. Well, it might have to be edited by the time the 3 hours are over. But, you know, but yeah, for the young people to hear, even that first, just that first part, if you want, I'll try to save it. I'll try to download it and save that first part of your story and let young people listen to whether you read. Well, you know what? If I download it and save it, then it'll go on YouTube with a link. I can give you a link for it. And
they could listen to that.
And maybe... Yeah, and then maybe the following week you could have them come on. You know, that could be the talk. Well, I can't tell you what I'm doing because that's the name of the show I'm going to launch. But you can have them come on. I know I'm learning how to keep my secrets now. You can have them come on and give their perspective, give their review of that. The parents, like Ms. Gigi said, the parents and the young people, they'll have 2 weeks. They'll have 2 weeks we'll have 2 weeks to share that in groups that we feel could benefit from it, which is, I would say, anybody maybe 14 and older, including the parent. It was a powerful story
right
across the board. And it's sometimes we don't hear these stories until people are dead and other people start telling their story. So I appreciated you telling that. Mm. And for young people who are out there and you have friends and you all are working and making money, come together and determine how you want to invest that money, what you can do today. Some of the projects seem big, but once you get in, like you all, Jay Sean, if y'all would have listened to him, you buy one property.
Yeah.
That property buys the rest of your property. You buy one. And that one leads you to all of the others. But
you got to think that was 40 years ago.
No, who you telling? More than that. Yeah. It's
yeah.
But thank
44.
You for that. Let me. I know your people are waiting, and let them know that they have to call in if they still want to. You know, if they're on the app and they want to talk, they have to call in a minute because close to 10 o'clock they can't get in. So they should try to call in if they still want to continue your conversation.
Look at you promoting the Jay Sean show. But you want to be
Jay
the first
Sean,
lady?
You know that's what I'll do. Huh?
No. I see you. You moving in from the sidelines.
Miss Gigi, tell him, let's not get it twisted. Don't
wait a minute,
John,
you said that you needed an assistant. Now allow her to help you out. And sometimes you got to know how to, you know. Because remember about you saying, you know, when you get older.
Yeah.
And let us say this. I wish Miles and everyone out there who's not feeling 100 or even 98%, I wish you, we wish you a speedy recovery. And
yes,
please, you know, get better. Get some mushroom powder. Build your immune system. Get better, everybody. I don't care what it is. You look into those mushroom powders. It'll turn your life around. And that's CMOS. All right, I'm out. Thank you, Jay.
All right, don't leave. Don't stay with us. I got another question to ask you.
Okay.
Gigi.
Okay.
Yes.
12-year-old Gigi right now.
Stay focused. You don't, I dare you to be different. Live life, learn the lessons, because as they grow, even at 12, especially nowadays, we have to start talking to our 12-year-olds as if we're talking to our 16, 17, and 18-year-olds. Unfortunately, and let them know that they can do anything, and nothing is out of their reach. Definitely with these
right.
finances, the importance of finances, learning to save, knowing the value of a dollar. Because those are things that a lot of times, you know, unfortunately in certain neighborhoods, and just not just neighborhoods, that parents don't have time to teach them that. Unfortunately, the Internet and YouTube and all these other sites are teaching our children now. And that's what's influencing us. So I think that's a very good idea, Ms. Bajanae said, about putting it on YouTube. Because we have to start promoting stuff like that to also teach our children. Because if that's what they're going to get, we
got
to tell them. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Because I got up, but when I tell stories, everybody out there listening got stories that they like. It's just some people are afraid they tell their stories. Like me, my life is an open book. I put it in a book.
Well, you know what?
Just
real quick. The part of overcoming and asking God to help you and being transparent, because you've now flipped that around where you are truly helping people, you know, and in a different way. You know,
right.
You got to say, look, you had to go through that to be able to tell this story.
Yeah.
And I thank God
That's
you got
real.
Through it.
That's real. That's real. Yeah, because, I mean, you know me when I was knee-deep in it.
Yes.
When I was serious.
Yeah, I have stories. I've traveled with you.
yeah, you
and I just want to touch
me.
A little bit on, you know, as far as you saying what's the religion of Jehovah's Witness. As you know, we didn't grow up Jehovah's Witness, but my grandmother became Jehovah's Witness.
Your grandmother was a Jehovah's Witness, right? Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Things became different.
Oh, wow.
Because the things that we had grown up with, always knowing that Christmas was not about gifts, but we still celebrated, it was more for us getting together as family. And when all that stopped, it definitely put a damper on things as far as gathering just as family. We still would have family dinner, but it wasn't the same. So I understand
right.
that when you said that takes the joy, because for a while there, I felt like somebody stole Christmas. Because from we going to grandma's house, and we know we getting ready to eat. You know, we didn't have a lot, but we were grateful for the one or two things we got. We got pajamas, things we needed. And it was about the gathering, but then when all that stopped, it was like, wow, somebody stole the holidays and the birthday, like that didn't exist. But I never understood the part where they did not celebrate, but bring a gift to them and see if they don't take it. Keeping it real.
You gotta stop talking because you making me think of so much shit. For real, you is. Let me tell you. You hitting too many points. Look, I want to tell you something. This real fast. When I was young, about 15 years old, me and some of my friends, we used to rob a meat. It used to be a meat factory, like a couple of blocks from my house. So this in the '80s. So what they would do, for some reason, I don't know why, the trucks would come with meat and they would stack it up outside. And then the people would come outside and get it. So what we did, we found out what time the trucks was coming, and the trucks would stack all the meat up outside and I guess wait for the workers to bring it in the factory. So what we would do, I was on a moped, not even a motorcycle. So you know how young I was, like 15. Me and my friends, we all had mopeds, about four of us. So we would go. And we would grab as much as cases of meat, and we would take it to where we was taking it, go back and get more. So anyway, my mother was a diehard Jehovah's Witness for about 60, 70 years. I'm telling you, my mother was a Jehovah's Witness from her toes to the top of her head. Maybe 60 years. And I mean a real Jehovah's Witness. So anyway, we stole a lot of the meat. We couldn't sell all the meat. So I took some of the meat and I put it in my mother's refrigerator. And we had a deep freezer in the back. The refrigerator, but we had a deep freezer. So I had like steaks, ribs, like I'm talking about real good shit in cases. So I put a couple of cases in my mother's deep freezer. So the next day came and my mother said, "What you doing with? Don't you bringing stolen food in the house? This and that." She went the fuck off on me, stolen meat in her freezer. And you know, I was 15. I was smoking then and drinking. And I was like, yeah. So you know, maybe I say like, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 days went by, and the money that I had from selling the meat, I ran out of money. So I said, let me go back to the deep freezer and get the other meat that I put in my mother's freezer and sell that. So I went to my house. I got the steaks and the rib, prime ribs and all that. I took it out my mother's deep freezer, and I went and sold it to this restaurant. So, you know, I sold it to the restaurant. I got money now. You know what I mean? With my friends, we drinking Old English 40s. We smoking weed and whatever we do, sniffing coke or whatever. 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, you know, I come home. You know, I'm still living with my mother. I'm 15. I come in the house, and when I come in the house and my mother get out the bed, and she got fire in her eyes. And she telling me, boy, if you ever take food out this house, boy, she was going to call the cops on me. but do y'all understand what I'm saying? She just told me don't never bring stolen food there. Then when I took it out the house, she was going to call the cops on me for stealing food from the house. I'm saying that, Gigi, because of what you just said. You know what I mean? Like, it's double standards. Like, she was actually going to call the cops on me and said I stole food out her freezer, but she just cursed me out 7 days before that for bringing stolen food to her.
She had plans.
What'd you say?
She had plans for that.
Yeah,
food.
But it was stolen.
But you put it in her freezer, that meant it became hers.
Became hers.
I guess so.
Now you just stole it from the people. Now you just stole it from her, too?
Yeah, she told me I stole food out the house. I'm like, what you talking about? You didn't even want it there. She's like, boy, I'll call the cops on you. Like, you call the cops on me?
Double.
What do you mean you call the cops on me?
Yeah, it was
like
always
stolen food. Yo, listen, hold
on. That's
a meal. Yeah. Wait a minute. Let me see. 8555. You back? 4785. Y'all went to sleep on me. Hey, I talked too long. 4785. 8555. Anybody on the line who wanna go live, just press 1. We got everybody just listening. It's all good. Make a donation then. Don't go live. Just make a donation then. So anyway, if whenever y'all feel like 4785855, y'all feel like talking. So look, yeah. So life is real. Life is very real. But we gonna get to some of these topics, and I hope some people wanna come in. I wanna try something different though. We always talk about the teenagers and the teenagers. I want to see if I could pull a sneak attack on my youngest daughter. See what the hell she doing on a Friday night. If she answer the phone. We'll see. Well, it's not ringing. Wait a minute, let me see.
Oh, and Jay Sean, happy birthday in advance.
Thank you very much. You say Gowan, but I don't hear it. Maybe we can't do it.
Deshaun, when
That's
you was
true.
Talking about
That's
the college, it was Montclair State.
It was Montclair?
Yes.
What? I knew it was in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was a college in New Jersey. I just couldn't remember which one it was.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to say, you really was rolling deep, huh?
I was from Jersey. You know, the girls was up here too.
My phone is not dialing now. I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to.
Well, see, a lot of that, see, no, we have to tell them the truth. A lot of that is I traveled with you because I took care of your daughter.
Because what?
I took care of your daughter. I mean, amongst other things, but the main thing was taking care of Angel.
Yes, you did. Now, see, when you first came on this show, I don't know what's going on. Wait a minute. We having problems. One second. We still on, but for some reason, my blog talk went down, but we still on. I'm gonna try to sign back in. Hold on. I don't know what the hell just happened. Yeah. My internet, the site can't be reached. The hell? That's strange. Checking connection. Checking proxy.
You may have to go back in and reset your internet.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do now. I can't pull it back up because wait a minute. Well, everybody's still on. Evagene, you still on? Evagene. I think.
Did you lose her?
No, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. So they say check the connection, check the props, and check the firewall. My internet is good. Let me give me one second. Let me see what's going on. Something going on. Share files, Chromebook, Android. Let's see if this helps. Hey Dre, I can't even see. Hey Dre, can you see the board? I can't see it. Anyway, we still live. I just can't see the board. It keeps saying something went wrong with the internet. Let's see what happened. The site can't be reached. Yeah, something going on. Check your internet. Let me check my internet. Everybody just bear with me 1 minute, everybody. Connected.
Baby girl, a message, and I'll be coming home. I'd rather be alone. She doesn't fully understand me, and I'd rather leave than cheat. She give me some time, I can be the man she needs. But there's a lot of lust inside of me, and we've been together since our teenage years. I really don't mean hurt her, but I need some time to be alone. But when you love someone, you just don't treat them bad. Oh, how I feel so sad now that I wanna leave. She's crying apart to me. How could you let this be? I just need time to see where I wanna be, where I wanna be. Decision that's so hard. Do I leave? Do I stay? Do I go? Well, think about my life and what matters to me the most. Girl, the love that we share is real, but in time your heart will heal. I'm not saying I'm gone, but I have to find what life is like without you. Treat them bad. Oh, how I
I'm still here.
Hear me out there. Can you hear me, Trey? Still here, Gigi? Miss Gigi, you still here?
I'm still here.
I'm trying to see. I can't see the board, but Dre working the board.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Dre, go live. Let me see if I can hear you. I don't know what's going on. Dre said I'm good. Nope. But can you see the board, Dre? Dre said it's good. But Yvonne Janae, I guess she got off. Anyway, I can't see the board. But the show.
So you can't tell who's on and who's not.
No, Dre gonna have to do that. Dre said everybody's still on.
Hey, I'm back. I don't know
if anybody
looking for me.
Who said that?
Yvonne.
I believe that was Mr. Nine.
Are you still here?
I
thought I lost you.
I picked up customers and I dropped them off. So, I know your dialogue isn't always public, So I just like.
Oh, okay. All right. You out there serving? You out there serving the public? You out there
serving
the public?
I'm serving up.
That's what I used to tell people when they used to ask me what I do. I used to tell them I was a talent scout. And they ask me what I'm doing. I tell them I serve the public.
That's right.
That's what I do. But I'm trying to see. It's almost 10 o'clock, so the people that's on the links, you got to call in if you want to stay with us. And the people that's on the line, I can't see, but Dre working the boards now. Press one. And we'll bring you in. I see all them numbers on the phone line. I can't believe that nobody don't want to press one and join the show. Was I too melodrama? What they call that? Melodrama?
Not at all.
Melodramatic? No. You tell a vivid story. A very, very vivid story. So that's a good thing. Can I read something?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Who is that? Hold that thought.
Yes, sir.
Who is that, Dre? Somebody press one.
It sounds like they're on.
Who was that, Dre? Dre. Who was that?
Hey, Dre Chan.
Hey, what's good?
All is well. I hope all is well with
LaToya.
You.
What's going on, LaToya?
All is well. I want to say I appreciate you telling your story. And what Gigi said.
Oh, you caught
that?
You caught that?
Oh, yeah. Wow. It was powerful. It was very powerful. But as they said, it was something that you need to tell and a lot of other people to listen and to know they can get through it. It was very powerful, so I applaud you for telling your story.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Go ahead.
It was something that was like surreal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know. I don't really know, like, I don't really even know how I got to that point where I was fed up. Or I don't even know where I got to that point where I felt like talking to God. It just happened.
Well, he listened to you, and, John. Go ahead. I'm talking while you're talking.
Yeah,
go ahead,
I mean, that was my last party I ever did.
Wow. Well, I would
I guess he heard my prayers, I guess.
He did. I would say continue.
Because I was tired.
Right, right.
Did you hear the part about me doing it 5 more years?
Yes, yes. Until you got sick and tired.
Yeah, that was 5, 6 words made me do that 6 more years. I mean, 5 more years. It's a long time for 6 words. Well, hey, Latoya, what you think about the young lady that was in the car crying? You think she was lost?
She was very lost. Yes, she really was. To only think that for her just to give herself or sell herself, that, I mean, she was very lost. There's so much more to life. Yeah, so much more to life. But I'm sure God got her past, and that was her past.
Oh, yeah, she married, and she working and everything. She's a working woman. She was young then.
Yes.
I forgot to ask Evagene and Gigi what they thought of that. What you thought of that young lady?
I would say she was looking for love, guidance. She had evidently whatever it was that she had went through in her life may have beat her down to, you never know what people speak into someone else. And we say that's just words, but those words cut deeper than someone beating on someone, you know, sometimes. It took her to see and for you to also tell her that she could do better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the time, she didn't think about it. But I'm pretty sure today she can thank you for telling her those words, because she probably never heard that before.
Right.
For her to, you know, herself, she had no self-esteem. You just don't know what she may have went through in her life, that she got to the point that she wanted to sell her body, or she felt that was the only choice she had. We don't know what her upbringing may have been. You know, generational curses are real.
She had the best.
And we can just continue to pray. And you say that, you know, she's a working woman now. She's married.
She had the best breath
I've ever
seen in my whole life.
None of that matters anymore.
Best breath I ever seen.
You know,
no,
we live
real
life. Yeah, none of it matters anymore.
Not no more.
Because if we always lived through the mistakes and the things, the life lessons that we went through, we would never get to the point where we can know that we can live past that.
Her husband could enjoy that now.
Yes. And see,
right?
she learned that someone could love her enough to marry her. You know, maybe had she not went through that, maybe had you not said those 3 words you said to her.
I told her she was beautiful.
And you know what? Sometimes that's all they need
to
hear. It's not about, sometimes it's not about, it's about surviving. Sometimes it's really just about surviving.
Yeah.
You know, back at, and you're talking about in the early 80s, 90s, early 2000s, when crack was running rapid and people had to survive, young kids had to get out here and survive the best way they knew how.
Yeah.
It's real.
You're right. It's real.
It's real. And unfortunately, we're going to see those times. We see them now, but we're going to see them more than ever.
Yeah, that's what they say. It's the sign of the time.
The sign of the time. So this is, you know, for everybody on this line, I don't care what you do in life. I don't care where you at. God will meet you right where you at.
Yes, he
will. He know you're good, you're bad, and you're ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to him.
Yes.
Because we all have a story.
That's true.
And we all have a story that we'll never tell.
Mm-hmm. I tell.
And hopefully that this helps somebody be able to tell their story to help someone else. Because this is called, Jay Sean, I thank you for paying forth. Because, you know, this is where God had to get you to this point that you could tell your story.
Mm-hmm.
Not only could you tell your story, you wrote about your story.
Mm-hmm.
You made short stories about your story, short movies
mm-hmm.
about your story. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That is excellent.
And you're going to be doing so much more because you're going to be doing a lot of traveling. So you might as well get past that fear of flying.
Get past that.
Because you're going.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And I know you've been asked to go places to tell your story.
Oh,
it's time for you to get up and start going.
Yeah.
I know. It's time for you to start going. Because he's trying to take you, you know, somewhere, and I know it looks like it's scary. But trust me, if he's taking you there, he's going to keep you, and he's going to guide you and walk with you. He done walked with you here to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's nothing that we could ever do in life will take his love away from us. And that's pretty much all I have to say. Because I don't want to stop.
Miss Evie is speaking to you. She's telling you the truth.
Yes, she is.
Mm-hmm.
Dre, anybody else on the line? My internet is crazy tonight.
So I'd like to comment on that also, Jayshawn.
Oh, what's up? Go ahead.
It's still me. So I believe that we have many different universities on many different planes, and sometimes the street university teaches us and protects us at the same time. Kind of tuition-free, but you are paying. You're paying through blood, sweat, and tears. But the lessons that you're getting and hopefully the triumph that you see are valuable. So you and your business could have been a haven, which could have kept that young lady alive because there were other alternatives.
Yes.
And she felt safe. She felt safe in your presence. She felt safe under your wing. And where she is today is a result of all that she lived through and all that she learned and all that she listened to. So I'm going to say it's a good thing that you're a good person at heart, because in that business, it could be very treacherous. People don't always walk out of it.
Oh,
they're carried
out
of it.
Damn, look. I don't mean to cut you off, but look, you just reminded me of something. I was supposed to say this in the beginning of the show, and I want everybody to pay attention to this. Last week, I started off the show, and I told a story about a female that was with me, and she had a date to go on. And me and her wound up having an argument, and she told me that I choked her. Now, I got a lot of flack back from that, from people asking me, thinking that I was, like, choking somebody to make them go do something. But I want to clarify that because I don't want people to get the misconception. I never forced nobody to do nothing in my life. What I was talking about last week, when I said a female was supposed to go do a date, and she was telling me that I choked her or something before that. We had an argument about something totally different. It wasn't about going to do a date or make no money. It was something totally different where me and her had an argument, and she threw some liquor in my face, and, like, we both just was wilding that night. So I just don't want people to think that I choked somebody and forced them to do that. That's the furthest thing from the truth. So I'm glad you said that. Reminded me of that. I was supposed to clear that up because somebody was asking me, was I that kind of person or something like that? And no, not. I mean, Miss Gigi on the phone, she'd tell you nothing like that.
I accept.
One thing I can confess, though, he always gave his girls, from what I could see, not just did he take them on dates and drop them off, he also would drop knowledge on them.
Right.
Yeah.
He taught them ways of to make sure that they were protected. When he ate, they ate. So
that's
he did not just take
that from
his women.
That's my,
you know,
that's
these women, and just abuse them and take all the money, and they didn't get nothing. No, it was never like that.
No, not at all.
No,
when they traveled,
it didn't sound like that. It didn't
not at
really
all.
Sound like
he took
that.
Everything.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
Miss Gigi.
Yes. Yes.
I just, when you said travel, I just remember that you came to Atlanta with me.
I did.
Yeah,
you came to Atlanta with
you.
I went to Florida with you.
Me, you, and two of my ladies. Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. I forgot about that.
And the cat fight.
Atlanta, remember, was the hotel with the swimming pool
and
all that. And I remember I drove all the way to Atlanta because none of y'all had license.
I had license. I just didn't want to drive.
I remember I drove all the way to Atlanta.
Oh.
I was young then. I could do that then. Not anymore. Wow, I just remembered that. That's crazy. See, that's what I like when people, like when I got history, because I forget a lot of things, you know, because I did so much. But I do remember what you were talking about when the cop fell on the ground?
On the ground. Mm-hmm.
What happened was, I want to tell this story. I met this girl called me and told me about a girl that needed to make $300 to pay her rent. She was like, Jay Sean, my friend of mine, she need $300 or she going to get put out. So I said, okay, let me go come see her. So I'm from Patterson, but she lived in Englewood or Belleville or something, like a white town. I drove to the town and I seen her. I put this in one of my books. This girl was beautiful. I call her Pocahontas in my book. She looked like an Indian. She had long, black, wavy hair. Beautiful, beautiful island complexion. This girl was fine. This girl was beautiful. So when I met her, I went to interview her, and she needed to make some money to pay her rent. I asked her, did she have a man? And she told me something like he wouldn't help her or he didn't help her. I couldn't understand that. Somebody as beautiful as that. So anyway, I had a party that coming up. So I told her she could come to the party. I told her, good as she looked, it'll be easy for her to make $300. No problem. So she was like, really? I was like, yeah, you had no problem making $300. Like, yeah, you probably won't even have to do nothing. You probably could just do some lap dances and dance around. Because everybody don't got to sell their body to make money. Don't get it twisted. And that was the night. So it was me, Miss Gigi. I believe it was a female named Dee Dee, a Jamaican girl named Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
yeah.
I can't remember who else was there.
It was like five of us.
It was like five of us in my car. So I remember when I drove down the street and the girl house was on the left. So when I got there, she was sitting on her steps with a guy. And remember, Miss Gigi, she was telling me to keep going. She was like, pull off, Jay Sean, pull off, keep going. But I had to make a 3-point turn to go back the other way. So I pulled in her driveway. I don't know why I did that. I pulled in her driveway. I was going to make a K-turn and go back in the direction I came. So when I pulled in her driveway, big-ass black dude, he came and grabbed the car door, remember? And he said to me, he said, yo, you got my girl dancing? You got my lady dancing in go-go bars? And I was like, yo, my man, I was like, yo, you see any chains on anybody in this car? I said, this is by choice, not by force. I said, your woman called me. So he was holding my car door, and he was like, yo, he was like, and I was like, yo, she called me. So, Ms. Gigi, if you know, remember, he ran to his car trunk.
He ran to his car.
So he went to his car trunk.
And she jumped in your car.
And I pulled off. So, we driving down, and if anybody know Englewood, New Jersey, and Belleville, that's white people area. I mean real white, suburban. So, I remember we driving down the street. And I hear a lot of cop cars.
Uh-huh.
And I say, damn, they going to get somebody because it's a lot of them motherfuckers. So then I'm like, oh, shit, they pull. Now, we drinking, Miss Gigi, if you remember, we drinking.
Yeah, we were drinking Hennessy.
Smoking. We drinking Hennessy, smoking. I'll never forget when they pulling back of me, I put the bag of weed. First, I put it in my sleeve. I took it out my sleeve. I put it in my inside pocket. I took it out of there. I put it back out my sleeve. And then I tried to throw it out the car door. But it fell inside the car.
Mm-hmm.
So the cops was like, this like some SWAT shit. They didn't come to the car. They like all
so,
behind
so
the car doors
the car.
And down on the ground and go passenger, come out, put your hands out the window, walk backwards, driver, throw the keys out the door,
he's
back up.
The,
I'm like, we all like, what the fuck? A traffic violation? We all getting out the car on the ground. Now we all on the ground. I mean, it was summertime. So we talking about Daisy Dukes, tight jeans, halters. We talking about spit. We talking about ass in the air. So we on the ground and shit, and the cops searching my car. So I'm telling the cops, like, yo, what's going on? He like, yo, just stay on the fucking ground. So we on the ground, and the white people looking out the restaurant. I'm like, yo, fuck this. I'm like, yo. What's going on? He like, where is it at? I'm like, where is
total,
what?
Yeah, you had a gun.
He like, where is it at? I'm like, where is it? What? He like, yo, we got a phone call that you pulled the gun on somebody. Oh my God. I'm like, listen, I had an argument with a guy about his girl. I'm a promoter. I'm taking females to do a party. He must have got mad. But look, you know, they wanted me to press charges on him for doing that.
Yeah.
They wanted me to come back to the for calling in a false. You can't do that. You can't call the cops and say and get them to come out. You know what I mean? Somebody could get killed, taxpayers' money. I was like, nah, I'm good. I got a party because they went through the trunk and they found thongs and stilettos and dildos and whatever else was back there. They was like, yo, he ain't lying. They going to do a party. But you know what was the craziest thing, Miss Gigi, that I never forgot?
What was that?
When the white cop told me, apologized to me, and he shook my hand.
Again, yeah.
He gave me my bag of weed back that I tried to throw out the car that fell on the floor. He shook my hand and gave me my weed back. I was like, oh shit. Because they had the Hennessy on the car. They could have
on the car, on the hood of the car.
Driving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They gave us our shit back and let us go.
They gave us everything back and told us go ahead.
Yup, gave us everything back. But then, wait a minute, I forgot a part. Remember I was driving down the street and he cut me off? I was driving down the street and he cut me off in his car. In the middle of an intersection, he cut me off. He's like, yo, you got my girl dancing. Like, I thought he was going to pull something out. So I had a blackjack. I was like, I had my hand like I was going to pull something out. And he was like blocking me. I was like, yo, you from Patterson, right? Yo, yeah, I'm going to get you, man. I'm going to get you. And then he pulled off. And I guess that's when he went and called the cops.
Went and called the cops because his girl left with him.
But I think I told him, I said, yo, you should have gave a girl $1. She calling me. Trying to get, and he was driving a brand new BMW, so he had money. He could have gave his girl $300 for rent. She didn't have to want to go out and dance and shake her ass or whatever she wanted to do for money, you know. And that was a funny ass fucking night.
It was real funny.
It was funny. And when she
that
called me the
next
day. That
was a funny and crazy night.
She called me the next day. I said, nah. I'm good. lose my number. Lose my number, Pocahontas.
Yeah, she was a pretty girl, but she wasn't worth all that.
Nah, she wasn't worth all that. My man wanted to kill me. He was like, nah, I'm taking his woman dancing. Well, you taking my woman dancing? I never forget he said that to me. I said, you see any chains in this dance? You see any chains on anybody in this car? He said, I'm taking your woman dancing. You got a brand new car. Give her $300. And call it a day. You know? Dre. I don't know why Dre ain't talking tonight. He working up. Maybe I can't hear him. Blog Talk sure pissed me off tonight.
Come on, y'all. Call
something
in.
Something happened. I can't see the board. I don't know if it's my internet or if it's Blog Talk.
Oh, it's after 10 o'clock. They can't call in.
Huh?
I said they can't call in. Well, if you're on the line, press one.
Oh, there's people already on the line. I can't see them, but they're already on the line.
Yeah,
people just like
you.
To listen to us talk. Mm-hmm. So we going to Mr. Vajanae. If Vajanae, she might be doing another.
Picking up. Got another client.
Well, she was doing Instacart.
Well, you know, Deshaun, you started off and you were talking about how guys be telling you how they going to beat women, how they do this and they do that with women, and how they going to beat it up.
How they do what?
You're absolutely right. Women have babies. You ain't beating up nothing. You're
they gonna
not
beat
beating up,
the up
nothing. You can't miss what you can't measure. And I don't think there's nothing and nobody that can outdo a woman having a baby. So, guys,
right.
You know, I don't mean to, you know, try to, you know, bust nobody's bubble. And then after a certain age, you're not beating up nothing nowhere.
When you get to my age, you're not.
You're not beating nothing up. You're not going all night long. First of all, it don't take all night.
I'm just playing with it.
And that's all you probably pretty much doing. Because most of the time at that age, y'all, let's be keep it real. It ain't the same. And then we ain't got time as women. We ain't got time to be playing with them wiggly worms, trying to play catch. We ain't got no mix.
I'm foreplaying you to death.
But now it's not even about the sex. It's about, you know, a lot of these guys, y'all really don't understand the concept of it because y'all thinking sex is all about personal contact. No, sex is when you can make love to somebody's mind.
Right.
And make them feel good without even touching them. So when you get to the rest,
are you making love to a man's mind? Can you make love to a man's mind?
I think that's the best way to blow a man's mind. Because a man can get good sex from a woman anywhere. So it's not about, you know, him getting the pussy. Excuse my expression, ladies, but it's really not about that point. Because y'all can get that anywhere. Y'all really look for somebody that can make love to your mind. It's going to make you think and want to do better and want to do different.
Yeah, that's true.
My grandmother, my father's mother, God rest her soul, but she used to always say when we were coming up and she had 11 kids. She had one girl and 10 boys. And I could remember her telling my grandfather, you better know how to put the money on the headboard. Even back then. So, ladies, just giving it up for nothing. And men, y'all tell as much y'all don't pay for nothing. Yes, you do. If you got a wife, you getting her hair, nails, and feet done, you paying the bills, yes, you paying for it.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. And y'all that are listening, and we, you hear Jay Sean and us talk about our history. You heard me say I never had to sell my body or do anything, but I love to dance. What better than to dance and make money and people not touching all over you? Because if y'all don't know, I mean, it depends on the rhyme. I mean, there were some raunchy clubs, but you control who does what to you.
Yes.
And I agree with you, Ms. Andre. Why would you? You know, certain things should, I think our laws and our government focus on the wrong things. A woman's body is her choice to do what she want to do. Okay, they say prostitution is illegal. But yet and still.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. But yet and still, in certain countries, in certain areas, certain states, it's legal because they can make money off of it. But my thing, if that's your choice and your part of your body that you want to work, I say, hey, you're a team player. You work well with others. You got skills. What the hell?
Like, okay, so you have Sodom and Gomorrah, right? That was a story they told. Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, if that was the case, why is everything so new? Why do we have a whole alphabet to describe people who are choosing sexuality in a different way? If we remember the story that they told us about Sodom and Gomorrah, why wouldn't you think it would repeat itself? We're cycling. But they tell the stories in the way that they want us to be led. But we're being led to what they want us to believe and how they want us to live. They're leading with their story, which is really, like, bizarre. It's bizarre. But look up Dolores Cannon and listen to Conversations with God. I don't know if you've listened to that. Conversations with God on YouTube. Powerful. It is so much bigger than us.
I have there's a lot that's bigger than what we could even imagine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what we have to believe? We have to believe what we feel. What we feel is more important and more substantial than what we're told.
Well, believe none of what you hear and half of what you see. I'm led by, you know, sometimes we have to go with that third sense, that sixth sense we have, that
believe
does guide us. If we just
that's
listen
right.
to
that's,
it.
That's right. Believe in what you feel. What you feel is more important, more substantial than what you will be told by mankind.
You know, we're living in times now, you don't know who to trust. You know, they say keep your friends closer and your enemies closer. Well, when you can't tell the difference. We've gotten away from things that matter and focusing on things that are mediocre and it's going to pass away. Things
yeah,
are going to pass
like
away
you,
as
you
know it. So.
Because how old are you, Miss Gigi?
57.
And Avajane, you 60 what? 62, something like that.
We've gotten away from caring. That's why I really appreciate you telling your story, sharing your story, and not holding back, you know, being very transparent. And that takes a lot. You know, that takes humility and growth.
Yes.
That's true.
It takes courage.
And
that's
not just
like
courage.
It's like therapy.
Mm-hmm. Because when you get to a point in life that you begin to understand that nobody else's opinion matters about your life and about how you had to go through your life, we all have a path, and we don't know where our path is going to lead us.
Right.
And it's sad because there's not a lot of people that's willing to tell their story because they still have on a mask of pretending and hiding behind, you know, where they may be at today. But they don't tell that story that got them to where they're at. Because we all have had a challenge of some kind or another, whether it be, through a relationship. And relationship meaning it could be a family relationship. It could be a marriage. It could be whatever, you know, relationship that you have. And just life happening.
Yeah.
And we have to get back to being our brother and sister's keeper.
Mm-hmm.
because I don't know if people are paying attention to what's going on around in our world. It's real. It's real.
It's very real.
And I don't know. I'm going to share my story about I had a cell phone number that I've had for 30 years. I was with Boost Mobile for over 25 years. A few weeks ago, they restricted my number and said there was terrorist activity. I told them, well, if there was any type of activity like that, honey, the only thing I'm praying for and only terrorist activity I'm going to be is peace, love, and everybody to come together and be happy.
Right.
But it goes to show you how they can hit a button and shut you down. I don't know if any of y'all know yesterday Cash App was down.
Yeah, it was.
Been acting strange. See how they can just shut it down and put it back on when they want to? That's how they're going to control us. We have to really start paying attention and listening because it's before us. And for everybody, yes, it's all convenient, but for us that don't know, there was a time when our recession, like we said, things are recycling. Our ancestors had mattress money, and they had that money for a reason. Because if they hit a button and shut everything down, what are we going to do? They're going to control when we can spend our money, how we going to spend it, and how much of it they going to take. Why are working people, middle class people, as what, you know, society called middle class, now in jeopardy of not even knowing where their next meal going to go because the price of food is so high. Rent is off ridiculous. And landlords are asking you to make 3 and 4 times the amount of the rent. Where y'all think we going to be
That's
at if
true.
We don't all come together? You know, we laugh and we talk about Spanish people and Mexican people, and we make jokes about how many I'm going to pop up out of that car now. But let me tell you something. If you look around, while we have, they might start off in that car, the next thing you know, everybody that was popping out that car is driving trucks, and they have business. They started off with one little truck. Now you got company. They got slews of truck with their company name on it, and they all live in one house together and help each other. Once Mary get her house, now we going to help out Hector. Once we got to learn to come back together. We make light of it, but we do that because we've been spoiled living in America. Their real struggle was not our struggle.
Yep.
Some of that stuff, we need to start taking lessons. Because if black people, brown people, whatever they want to call us, stuck together, could you think they could do anything with us? But we don't know how
to
stick together. We don't. We unfortunately, society have made us think that if we come together, that we going, you know, this one's going to steal from that one. That one's going to steal from this one.
Yep. Everybody's going to.
But we never learn to trust one another. We'll go give our money and put our money in these white banks instead of putting our money and keeping our money in our community and opening up our own banks.
That makes sense.
It makes a whole lot of sense.
And
yeah.
We start opening up, you know, because we got to help our own communities. We got to start coming back together. You know, Jayshawn, excuse me, I've been up there in your neighborhood. You know, the neighborhoods was neighborhoods.
Yeah.
If I'm going to use you, like you say, you and Shadi grew up together, so I'm going to use y'all two as examples. If Shadi didn't have nothing to eat at his house, he sure enough knew he can come to your house and eat. And that was vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah.
If his mama wasn't home, your mother was going to make sure he was all right and he was cutting up. She was going to snatch him. Now we just said it's not our problem. But if it's in our neighborhoods, it's our problem.
It sure is.
I remember it was a guy across the street, a close friend of mine. His name is Wise Calvin. And I remember his grandmother used to beat all of us. For real. Like, we treated her, his grandmother, we called her Miss Manning. And she would be like, boys, y'all better play nice. And she'd be like, don't make me go get a switch or whatever. Like, and it was like normal. Like, you know, like we'd be like, you know, sorry, ma'am, Miss Manning, or like, it was almost like she really could beat any kid on the block and then take you home to your parents. And it was cool. It was all right.
Mm-hmm.
Old black lady. Well, we was young. We was teenagers, so she probably was like in her 50s, but that was old to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she actually
look at you today.
Yeah.
Yeah. She could beat anybody.
But she wasn't just beating you. She was correcting you and guiding you because y'all was doing something wrong.
She didn't just
beat you because she could beat you. And that's what we have to get back to. Unfortunately, today, these young girls, now you beat somebody's child, you got to fight them.
Oh, yeah. No, I was saying we were thinking back then how people were old, and look at us today. Like, we're far from old, but they were younger than us, and we were looking at them as old back then.
Well, as my grandkids told me, I don't dress like a grandma. I told them, well, this is the first time I've been a grandma, and nobody taught me how to dress. But when I think back and think about my grandmother, yeah, they were old then, but they were wise.
Very wise.
So we were blessed. We didn't have all the technology, but we had the wisdom and knowledge that's taken us, that, you know, that's, I don't know about anybody else, but it's taken me through life even to this day.
Yeah, I'm going to say we didn't have the devices, but we had the natural technology.
We had the natural, we had the love.
That, and we had our brains and the energy of our brains. That was the better technology.
Our brains. Unfortunately, now society, our children don't even know how to count. And I'm going to say our children because if they're our children, they don't know how to count without a machine telling them how to count. I ordered some food a few nights ago. And my bill came to, I think it was $54. I gave her $60, so it was a $6 change. So I said to her, give me $3 back. She went on and she got halfway. And she says, oh, yous don't tip. First of all, who's yous? And you can't count, because if you could count, you would realize that you got a $3 tip on a $10 order. It wasn't like my order was a big order. But it went to show me, you can't count. And that's so sad. They can't count, and they won't be able to sign their name.
Let me tell you what happened to me. I've been meant to tell this story on this show. So I go to Checkers, right? I don't eat cheese. I'm allergic to yellow cheese. So I go to Checkers, and I tell the girl, let me get two hot dogs with chili. No, Yeah, whatever. Two hot dogs with chili, but I asked for a hamburger with chili. She tell me we don't have hamburgers with chili. We got cheeseburgers with chili.
Sounds like Burger King special order. Go ahead.
No, so I said to her, I said a hamburger with chili is a cheeseburger with no cheese. And this young black girl could not figure out what I was talking about. She just kept saying, no, we don't have hamburgers with chili. We only got cheeseburgers with chili. I said, all right, give me a cheeseburger with no cheese. Don't you know she was stuck on stupid and didn't understand what I was saying and still fucked up the order?
Comprehension
is
missing.
I'm saying that because of what you said about the young people can't even count.
They can't count up. If they make big a change, they can't count up. They can't count down. If something came to 1652 and you gave them 17 and 2 pennies, they don't know to give you just back 50 cents.
Nope, they don't know. Because I was trying to explain to this girl that a hamburger with chili is just a cheeseburger with no cheese. It was crazy.
It's sad.
And she couldn't comprehend.
They're so wise,
sad.
Sweet. But they can go run a computer.
Oh, yeah. They could do that.
But they can't spell either because they have spell check.
I got to ask y'all two ladies since y'all the only two ladies on the phone.
Uh-oh. Here we
go. Wait a minute. Who is that, Dre? I don't see. Somebody press one. Somebody press one. Going once. I don't know who that was. I was getting ready to tell a story, but I forgot. Damn, I forgot. All right, we moving right along. I had something to say. I can't. Damn. I can't think of it. It'll come back to me shortly. I don't know what it was about or whatever we was talking about.
About our young children, it's being sad that they're not, they have so much knowledge about computers and technology, but no common sense.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah, I know what I was. Yeah, somebody texted me and told me. I was getting ready to ask. I said, since y'all are only two ladies on the phone, I wanted to ask you a question. Is 69, the 69 position, is that something that's really enjoyable, or is it just some old term or folk story that people use, 69, 69? Is that something that's really enjoyable?
For me, I'm going to say no.
Why is that?
For one, I don't want my nose in your ass. Now, there's other positions where we ain't got to have all that. And it's not the comfortablest position.
So you don't like 69?
No. I don't. That's a personal thing, but no.
Evasion, is that just a folk story?
For one, Deshaun, I think that was something when older people decided to try other positions.
Yeah.
That was predominantly what they saw in the porn. Until it got into other things. And a lot of them wouldn't look at porn. They wouldn't look at things to show them other positions. So somewhere along the line, a woman made a man think that that was the best thing in the world since Coca-Cola.
Eva Janet, you still here? He might be gone. I'm opening up everybody's phone line. So anybody can say anything. I'm opening up everybody's line. All these people that's just listening and scared to talk. One second. You might want me to try to call them on a freeway. I swear this, don't forget everybody, if you're able to give a donation to the show, I really appreciate it. Let me try to call. I hear somebody talking. You live? See, y'all didn't know y'all was live. Who that back there don't want to talk?
Hello.
Oh, that's you.
Yo.
What up?
What's going on?
Where you fell asleep?
Huh? Nah. I was on another call.
Oh, you was on another call?
Yeah. That's why I texted you.
Just about
the call.
You just about missed the whole show.
Yeah, well, I mean, I caught all your whole introduction. You know what I'm saying?
That was enough.
By the time the introduction ended, I got this phone call I was waiting for.
Oh, I think I merged somebody in. Let me see.
Dre, you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I had to call my kids. Hey, Shaw.
What's up?
If you could tell the age you at right now, we the same age, but in some kind of way, imagine if you were 12 years old. And the age you're at now to talk to a 12-year-old Shaggy, what would you tell him?
Yeah, I would tell him, you know, be careful of the decisions you make. Be careful of the things that you do. You know, because things that you do just for yourself has the ability to affect others, and you just want to be mindful of, you know, things that you do just for your own pleasure. That's what I would tell myself.
To be mindful of what you do?
Yeah, be mindful of the decisions that you make based on what you feel is right, wrong, and based on what you find pleasure in and what you, you know, you feel like it's a part of you, something that, you know, you just want to do, you know, especially, you know, when it involves other people's, you know, emotions.
Hey, Shaq, is
what's up?
Is being faithful hard?
I mean, it has its challenges. But
I'm
when
asking
you realize,
I know you're faithful. I know you're
right,
faithful.
Right.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it has its challenges. But when you realize the reason why you're doing it, you know, why you being faithful, it makes it, you know, more rewarding to do so. You know what I'm saying? It makes it rewarding. The reward overpowers the challenges. You know what I mean? Just the fact that you know that you made a conscious choice to do something that is for the improvement of the person that you with and the improvement of the two of you together, you know, because, you know, not realizing prior to this, to coming to that point, it's like, you know, when you're being unfaithful, that's a personal choice that you do for yourself. That, you know what I mean? A lot of times you're not thinking about how it's going to affect the other person or if it's going to affect the other person. It's something you want to do. So when you choose to be faithful, now you're putting that person's feelings and emotions in mind. And you're saying, okay, I'm going to choose not to do this because I don't want to hurt this person any more than I have hurt this person. You know what I mean? So I'm going to be faithful. You know,
what's your idea of a romantic night, a romantic evening?
Look, I'm simple, man. I'm simple. I cook some dinner. She cooks some dinner. You know what I mean? Sit back, listen to some music, and, you know, just enjoy each other. That's you know, for me, that's it. You know what I mean? Listen to some nice old school soul music, some Barry White, some Blue Magic, some, you know, some of them, Delphonics, all that. That's romantic for me.
I think everybody would say that at the age, you know, because my show is from the age 40 to 70. So I think that everybody on here would agree with that, that a romantic night is just a night at home chilling, I guess. I would think that too. I got a couple of chill spots though to take females if I wanted to. But other than that, a nice dinner, some wine or something like that. I'm trying to see, wait a minute, Mr. Solution. And Mr. Solution is on the line. Press 1. You know you can't listen to my show for 3 hours and don't even press 1, Mr. Solution. What type of stuff is that? Last week you made me talk dirty. Now you want to listen for 3 hours and don't even press 1. I see a couple of people. I see my sister number up here. She ain't press one. Anyway, I think that, I also think that a romantic night, other than going out to my favorite two date spots, I got two favorite date spots that I've been doing since I was a kid when I took a woman on a date. I can't say them on this podcast because then people who are listening might ask me why I never took them there or would I take them there. So I won't say that. You know, you got groupies and people listening that might say, will I take them there or why I never took them there? So I'm not going to say. But I got two spots that I like to take people on first dates. But other than that, a nice dinner, a good movie, corn, and cuddling is romantic to me. I don't know. Hey, Avad Janet, you still on? She might be driving. Miss Gigi.
I'm here.
What's a romantic? You 57?
Yes.
What's a romantic evening to you?
Well, it depends on what the mood is for the night. It could be a night at home where we just chilling, or it could be a night where I feel like, you know, the date need to be outside.
I thought you was going to say it depends on your hormones.
No. You know, when you get a certain age, certain things come when they come, and you just enjoy one another.
Well, I thought that was just how men feel.
No. The difference is, a lot of times, men don't know how to express it. Because women, it depends on the woman, and it also depends on the man. There's some couples that's in their 60s, 70s that's still getting it in. And then there's some that just enjoy each other's companionship. And a little peck on the cheek or playing with it is enough for them.
Playing with what?
She playing with him and he playing with her. Or whatever tickles their fancy, because playing foreplay can go a lot of different ways.
I'm the foreplay king.
Because, see, I'm going to say you something with y'all guys. Y'all just swear you're going to get it, have it in your mind, you're going to get it, come time to get it. And he said, okay, I'm glad that's what you was feeling, but I'm going to stay over here and chill. You know, so instead of a lot of times guys, you know, don't know how to speak to a woman and tell them, listen, I got such and such going on. Erectile erection is real. I'm not saying that y'all have something, you know, but sometimes y'all need some help.
I know about it.
Yeah, sometimes you need some help. Sometimes, and there's nothing to be embarrassed about, guys. Ain't nothing to be embarrassed about. Because the worst thing you could do is get a woman all worked up that you're getting ready to do all this here. And you get to it and be talking about something, oh, man, baby, you're going to have to catch him when I come back. No, she don't want to hear that.
Boy, did we change the subject. I'm back.
Well, you just said it ain't nothing to be embarrassed about. You just said it ain't nothing to be embarrassed about. And then you
it's
said
it's not nothing to
like
be embarrassed about, but
out.
That's why he needs to have that conversation. But when he ain't having that conversation and he making this woman think she getting ready to have the best night of her life and fireworks getting ready to go off and all she get is a dud. Now, yeah, she don't want to hear that. But if you know from the door, you know, we can accept a lot of things. But instead of doing that, a lot of guys are embarrassed about it. So, you know, that eagle step in, you know, that old eagle.
So what about if a man, was like about to have sex and he couldn't get it up, right? And then he said, like, I can't get it up, but I'll go down on you. Is that sufficient? Is that okay? Or no?
That's okay sometimes. But as my grandmother, the same one I told you, used to tell him, don't put the money on the headboard. I can remember her telling my granddaddy, your old mother, yeah, if you can't cut the mustard, lick the jar. So it's for whatever you say. Hey, guys, don't be afraid to bring out the toys with your girl. Because if you don't play with them with her, she's going to play with them by herself.
But see, the other part to that is that by the time you get there, you haven't had a conversation. I mean, if this
right,
is a,
exactly.
a I just met you and let's go to a hotel and then you come up with something.
Oh, no, we ain't doing that.
Some interesting information like that, that's completely different than if you're in a relationship and we understand that sometimes it's a good one and sometimes it's a bad one.
It's a bad one, and we understand that. But, well,
yeah.
For me, I don't know. I've never had a one-night stand thing, but...
No,
because we're going to have that conversation. If we're going to be intimate like that, been around each other enough that we done had some serious conversations. Because I tell them, don't tease me with a good time. And I get there and all the lights is out and the party's over. So, yeah, that's a conversation that, you know, and we also as women have to make them feel comfortable enough talking to us about it. Because sometimes, you know, we can say some things sometimes to kind of cut them. Not meaning to, but if you, like me, and you keep it real, sometimes it don't always come out, you know, in a way that they understand it, you know. But again, it depends on the person. But when you get to our age, companionship, ain't now and then, but you know, especially with, I don't know about, any of the other women, but if you're going through menopause, it's hot. You know, go over there. You know, as a woman said, barroom joke. Yeah, I like dick. I want dick to come do what dick do, and I want dick to go home.
I heard that before. I just seen a meme like that where it was a cartoon character and the guy finished having sex with the girl and she was like, oh, don't you gotta go to work in the morning? He was like, no, I don't work. She was like, well, street cleaning coming out of the side of your car parked on. He's like, oh, I'll move it in the morning.
Uh-oh.
She was trying to get rid of him because he shot a blank.
Uh-oh.
And it was funny. It was.
Yeah.
But,
I am very comfortable and happy. I have a ball with me. Now, like I said, it's all by choice.
You live alone?
I do.
Carolina?
I do.
We got callers from North Carolina.
Really?
I think they're in Columbia.
That's on the other side
of it. Yeah, I think they're in Columbia and